Friends, we have seen the capital budgeting process now, and now we will discuss about the capital budgeting techniques. Process was a little bit complicated as far as the decision making is concerned. Techniques are also complicated, but it has got a technology flavor. And certain formulas or certain assumptions are required to undertake while undertaking the capital budgeting techniques. In this chapter, we are going to discuss about evaluation process of these techniques which we are going to use in the capital budgeting process. And the investment profile of the company is a most important part which plays a very important role in this process. And in practice, what are the techniques used for the capital budgeting process, that we are going to discuss now. Technique is to be used for the capital budgeting process just to evaluate scientifically that whether the projections made, investment proposed to be invested, funds required for the projects are appropriate, and the cash flow which is presumed is on the track, whether it will come by using certain assumptions or not, that also will be explained in this while discussing in this chapter. Before implementation of any project, these techniques which are used are very important to evaluate first and determine or decide or give a comfort to the company management that by applying these techniques, company may undertake the project for implementation. These techniques or analysis based on various formulas, various assumptions will help the management to take further decision for the investment in the company. The investment techniques and the capital budgeting techniques are normally divided into two parts. One is a discounting cash flow criteria, and another one is non-discounting cash flow criteria. The discounting cash flow criteria has three techniques. One, net present value, that is NPV, popularly called as. Another one is benefit to cost ratio, and third one is internal rate of return. Non-discounting cash flow criteria have two techniques for evaluation of investment. First one is a payback period, and second one is a accounting rate of return, that is ARR. So let us understand this first, DCF, that is cash discounting criteria and non-discounting cash flow criteria subsequently. The discounting cash flow criteria, as I said, there are three elements which consist of. First one is net present value, NPV. How to calculate this net present value? Net present value is a technique which is method of evaluating the investment projects or proposal. In these techniques, the methods present value of all the future cash flow, whether it is negative, that is expenses, whether it is positive, whether it is revenue, are calculated by using the appropriate discounting rate added. From this sum, the initial outlay is deducted to find out the profit in the present term. The figure, if it is positive, the project is acceptable. Figure, if it is negative, then better to ignore the project. This is what it said. I have cited one simple example to understand. Suppose the proposed investment is rupees 100 crores and the net present and the present value of the project for the future cash flow comes to, with the future cash flow will come to 120 crores, then the net present value would be a 20 crores. That is 120 minus 100 is equal to 20 crores and the project should be undertaken. And if the present value is 80, then in that case the NPV would be negative by rupees 20 crores. Then in that case the project should, it is advisable not to entertain such kind of project. That is why in simple term, net present value is, plays a very important game role in deciding the acceptability of the project. Benefit-cost ratio. Benefit-cost ratio present the analysis in a proportion or a ratio format. Here, just like the net present value method, the present value of the future cash flow is calculated and the ratio of this sum to the initial outlay is seen. If this ratio is more than 1, the project should be accepted, and if it is less than 1, it should be rejected. In the case which we have seen some time back, then in that case, when the NP, under the NP method, benefit cost ratio, if it will be 1.2, then the, in the first case, then in that case project will be acceptable. If it is 0.80, then in that case, the project will not be acceptable. It can be straight away rejected. Then IRR, that is internal rate of return. Internal rate of return is well-known method of evaluation. In this, there are several, there is a connection to the NPV also in, under the, in this method. In the NPV method, what we did, the discounting rate is assumed to have known to be evaluator. Discounting rate. Evaluator is knowing at what rate he is evaluating, at what rate he is discounting. On the contrary, the rate of discounting is not known in case of internal rate of return. That means, if internal rate of return is found out by equating the net present value, and which is, if when it becomes equal to 0, then in that case it is unknown variables are there, plus some unknown variables are added into this method, then the discounting rate is found out using the trial and error method to extrapolating the interpolating method, extrapolating or interpolating methods, and it is known as internal rate of return. For evaluation purpose, internal rate of return is compared with the cost of capital of the organization. If the internal rate of return is greater than the cost of the capital, then the project to be accepted, and if it is negative or less, then project should be discarded or not to be accepted. These are the three methods under the discounting flow method. Now, non-discounting cash flow criteria, there are only two methods, out of which first one is a payback period. Payback period means, the payback period is the method of evaluation where no discounting of the cash flow comes into play. And the term payback period is the period in which the initial outlay is covered with the revenues. For example, initial outlay is rupees 100 crores, let us presume, and the revenue stream is rupees 40 for the first 4 years. Then the payback period is 2.5 years, that is 2.5 years. Essentially, in 2.5 years, the entrepreneur gets his investment back, and revenue after this period is the profit for him. In short, it is also called as a break-even. Accounting rate of return, that is ARR. Accounting rate of return is calculated with the help of accounting data. And the ratio of the profit after tax and the book value of the investment in the accounting rate of returns. If the book value of the investment is 100 crores and the profit after tax is at 25, then the ratio results into 25%. Hence, the accounting rate of return is 25%. It should be always positive. Now, let us look into the value of the firm. Any point of time, we have to evaluate the value of the firm. Whether the project has to be undertaken, then value of the firm is essentially required to take. The value of the firm today is the present value of all the future cash flows. If you undertake the project, then value also of the project has to be determined. That is called the value of the firm. And these future cash flow come from the assets which are already deployed or which are already in place. So, from the future investment opportunities, this value of the firm is determined. These future cash flows are discounted at the rate that represents the investor assessment of the uncertainty that they will flow into the amount and when it is expected. Now, let us understand some of the techniques. Evaluate these techniques. What we have seen, the techniques, let us evaluate it. There are 6 techniques for the evaluation. And these 6 techniques are payback period, then discounting payback period, then net present value, that is NPV, profitability index, then internal rate of return, and modified internal rate of return. These are 6 evaluation techniques for the investment for the long-term assets. It is not for the short-term, for the long-term assets of the investment, assets in investment. An evaluation technique has certain criteria or characteristic features which consist of and directs the finance manager to consider all the future incremental cash flow from the project, then consider the time value of money, then consider the uncertainty associated with the future cash flow, then have some objective criteria by means of which the projects can be selected. The projects selected using the techniques are satisfied all the 4 criteria will, under most general conditions, are maximizing the owner's wealth. What happens in the payback period? In the payback period for the project is the time from the initial cash outflow to invest until the time when its cash inflow adds up into the initial cash outflow. So outflow starts at the beginning of the project. And thereafter, inflow will start. Till then, what is the period consumed is called as a payback period. In other words, how long it takes to get your money back. Okay? Then, the payback period is also referred as the payoff period or the capital recovery period. The example which I have quoted earlier proves the same thing, that when you invest 100 crores and every year if you are getting back 25 crores, then in 4 years your investment will be nil, and thereafter whatever profits you will be getting, that will be actual profit, and that particular point where it starts earning the profit is called it generates the cash. So, that is very important as far as this payback period is concerned. Because from that particular point onward, the company starts generating the profit. So, it is assumed that the cash flow are received at the end of the year. And we always arrive at the payback period in terms of the whole number of years. Break-even point, what I was referring some time back, that is company when it starts earning the profit. We have assumed that the cash flow are received. When it is received uniformly, there is no much ups and downs of receipt and outflow. Then in that case, the flow will be maintained constantly and it will be easy to calculate the break-even point also. Break-even point is the point where company starts earning the profit. In addition to having the well-defined decision criteria, payback period analysis favors the investment with front-loaded cash flow. What is this front-loaded cash flow? That means front-loaded cash flow is nothing but that investment where the investment looks better in terms of the payback period, and sooner its cash flow are received, no matter what its later cash flow look like. That means, in short, payback period analysis is a type of, as I said some time back also, the break-even measure. And it tends to provide the measures to the economic life of the investment in terms of its payback period. With all these details, the payback method, we can conclude that the payback method should only be used as course initial screen of investment project. But it can be useful indicator for some things, because if you take in international standard, the dollar of the cash flow in these early years is worth more than a dollar of a cash flow in the latter years. The payback period method provides a simple yet crude measures of the liquidity of the investment. That means there are several risks involved in that. More particularly, the exchange fluctuation risk that may also impact the cash flow. Because sometimes the movement is very aggressive and it is going against the rupee, then perhaps at that point of time, in international projects I am referring to, there will be always on the books, there will be always a losses. So, before undertaking any international project, it is very important to analyze, taking into consideration the exchange rate factor also, which I have not mentioned anywhere in this discussion. The payback period also offers some indications on the risk of investment. What is that risk of investment? In industries where the equipment becomes obsolete and rapidly, or there are very competitive conditions, the investment with earlier payback are more valuable. So earlier payback is very valuable whenever there is a rapid changes are happening. And that is because of the cash flow further into the future are more uncertain and therefore have lower present value. In the personal computer industry, for example, the fierce competition and the rapidly changing technology requires the investment in the projects that have the payback of the project benefit beyond certain period, but not more than 1 year. Because the payback method doesn't tell us the particular payback period that maximizes the wealth, we cannot use it as a primary screening device for investment as a long-lived assets. Discounted payback period. Discounted payback period, what happens? The discounted payback period is the time needed to pay back the original investment. And each cash flow is discounted back to the beginning of the investment at the rate of the reflect, at the rate that reflects both the time value of money as well as uncertainty of the future cash flows. And this rate is the cost of capital. So the return required by the suppliers of the capital, creditors and the owners, to compensate them for the time value of money and the risk associated with the investment. They take this factor into consideration. The more uncertain the future cash flow, the greater is the cost of the capital. Investment requirement is more. We discount an uncertain future cash flows to the present at some rate, and that reflects the degree of uncertainty which is associated with this future cash flow also. More the uncertainty, the less the cash flow worth today. This means that the higher discounting rate is used to translate it into the value today. Then the cost of the capital, which normally we are referring it, comprises of the required rate of return, that is RRR, and that is the return suppliers of the equipments or the capital, suppliers of the capital demand on their investment, and the cost of raising the new capital if the firm cannot generate a needed capital internally, that is from retaining earning. The cost of capital and the required rate of return are the same concept but from the different perspective. It looks like little bit difficult to understand this concept, but one by one, the entire chapter, if you read it, you will be well understood the techniques what we are using here. Now let us switch over to the discounted payback decision line, because decision has to be taken for implementing the technique of discounted payback method. The shorter the payback period, which is always better, whether using the discounted or non-discounted cash flow method. But how short is the better? Up to what extent? You said shorter, but up to what extent? Nobody knows. What we know is the investment and its break-even. So, in terms of the discounted cash flow at the discounted payback period, the point in time where the accumulated discounted cash flow equals to the amount of investment, and thereafter only the company starts generating profit. NPV, net present value. This is equal to the present value of all expected cash flows. The word net in this term indicates that all such cash flows, both positive and negative, which are considered to arrive at. There are changes in the operating cash flow system, and the investment cash flow outflow also. Therefore, we tend to refer to the net present value as the difference between the present value of the cash inflow and the present value of the cash outflow. So, only inflow and outflow difference is a net present value that we are presuming here. Net present value, decision rule, again, positive net value, what it indicates? It indicates that the investment increases the value of the firm, and the return is more than the sufficient to compensate for the required rate of return in the investment. The negative net present value means the investment decreases the value of the firm. The return is less than the cost of the capital, that is what the money is invested. A zero net present value indicates that the return is just equal to the return which is required by the owners to compensate the term for the degree of uncertainty in the investment. Future cash flow are the time value of the money. Therefore, if you look at this formula, then you will find that if your net present value is more than zero, this means that the investment expected to increase the shareholders' value. And you should accept this project. But if net present value is less than zero, then the investment is expected to decrease the shareholders' wealth. In that case, you should reject this project. But if net present value is equal to zero, the investment expected not to change any shareholders' wealth. Therefore, it should be a difference between the accepting and rejecting the project. Here, we have to take the decision. Profitability index, popularly called as a PI. This profitability index uses some of the same information that we have used in the net present value. So, to understand better, if present value or if the profitability index is more than 1, then the investment is expected to increase the shareholders' wealth in the investment, if the investment in. And under that situation, you should accept the project. If index is less than 1, the expected degree of the shareholders' wealth, the investment is, then in that case, you should reject the project. And if the PI is equal to 0, then the expected not to change any shareholders' wealth, then in that case should be indifference between accepting or rejecting the project. Same principles as NPV. Coming to the internal rate of return, that is IRR, suppose you are offered an investment opportunity that requires that you have to put say 50,000 rupees and has expected cash flow is rupees 28,809.52 after 1 year and 22,809.52 after 2 years. We can evaluate this opportunity using the timeline. This is the timeline. Then, as shown in the exhibit below, rupees 50,000 is invested. First year, 28,809, and second year, it will be 28,999. If you put together approximately 6,000 to 7,000 rupees, you are getting the profit out of it. So, the return on this investment is the discount rate that causes the present value of the firm is a 28,809.52 in the first year inflow, when the value of the investment or cash outflow is 50,000. There is a definite formula to calculate it that can be read from here, that is value divided by 1 plus internal rate of return for the first year, and this is for second year you can calculate. Another way of look at this to consider the investment cash flow and discount rate at the rate of at the IRR is equal to 10%. This is the formula where we have taken into consideration. You can look it to this formula also clearly by going through the complete chapter. You will understand it better. Internal rate of return decision rule. The internal rate of return decision rule yield is what we earned and the average per year. The decision rule for the internal rate of return is to invest in the project if it provides a return greater than the cost of the capital. Whereas, the cost of capital in the context of the internal rate of return is a hurdle rate, that is minimum acceptable rate of return for the independent project and situation in which there is no capital rationing, then in that case, if internal rate of return is more than the cost of the capital, then in that case, the investment is expected to increase the shareholders' wealth. In that situation, you should accept the project. But if internal rate of return is less than the cost of the capital, then in that case, the investment is expected to decrease the shareholders' value. Under such situation, you should reject the proposal. And internal rate of return is equal to the cost of the capital. The investment is expected not to change the shareholders' value. Under such situation, there should this should not be indifferent between accepting or rejecting the proposal. The decision has to be taken by the top management at this stage whether to accept the proposal or continue accept and continue the proposal or reject then and there itself. The internal rate of return and the mutually exclusive projects. Normally the internal rate of return gives the different decision than the net present value method, and when it is evaluated mutually exclusive projects because of the reinvestment assumptions. What is this reinvestment assumptions? One, that is net present value assumes the cash flow reinvested at the cost of the capital. Whereas in internal rate of return, the assumes the cash flow reinvested at the internal rate of return method. This reinvestment assumptions may cause the different decisions in choosing among the mutually exclusive projects when the timing of the cash flow is a different among the project. There are scale of the difference that is very different from the cash flow amounts, and the project have different useful lives. With respect to the role of the timing of the cash flow in choosing between the two projects, you have to always see the reinvestment rate of assumption which is choosing between these projects, which we choose between the project. What we have to do, suppose we can reasonably expect naturally the higher cash flow so as to compensate with the cost of the capital on our investment. Then the project with internal rate of return above the cost of the capital, we would be overstating the return on the investment using IRR. That means the question here is, what do you do if or with the cash inflow when you get them? We generally assume that if you receive the cash inflow, you will reinvest those cash flow in the other assets. That means it depends on how the cash flow is generated. If there is a continuous flow or it is not a continuous flow but in a staged manner, but with an indifferent line the cash flow is generated. Very difficult to take the decision at that point of time. With respect to the NPV method, that is net present value method, if the best we can do is to reinvest the cash flow at the cost of the capital, the NPV assumes reinvestment at the more reasonable rate, that is the cost of the capital. If the reinvestment rate is assumed to be a project's cost of the capital, then in that case we have to evaluate the project on the basis of net present value and select one of that maximizes the owner's wealth. Because after all, investor's wealth or owner's wealth is a more important. Now, capital budgeting techniques in practice. What exactly, which technique is in practice is used by the people or the company or finance manager? Net present value will steer us towards the project that maximizes the wealth in the most general circumstances. But what evaluation techniques do financial decision makers really use? We have seen that, number one, There is an increased use of more sophisticated capital budgeting techniques. We have also seen that most financial managers use more than one technique to evaluate the same projections or same projects with the discounted cash flow techniques, that is NPV, IRR, as well as PI. And that is used, so more than one technique is used. And the most commonly used internal rate of return method, though the net present value method is gaining the acceptance. With this, we conclude this chapter. Thank you very much.